Blog Talk Radio.
صباح الخير يا بلاد عمومنا، فضل وشر يكون. شو بتحب نضيفهم، دم عربي ولا دموع من عيوننا؟ بعد تقد هيك تأملوا نستقبل من هيك تعقدوا لما تدركموا على غلطة من هيك البيت ملقوفية البيضة والسودة صاروا كلاب الزمان يلبسوها كموضة مهما نفننوا فيها مهما غيروا بلونها كفية عربية بتضل عربية حصتنا بدنا إياه ثقافتنا بدنا إياه كرامتنا بدنا إياه كل شيء إلنا بدنا إياه غيرة نسكت لن نسمح لن لا بقلن يسرقوا شغلة مش إلهن ما حصل فيه الدولان لبس لبس هالأرض يكفيهن جمعانين على القدس قدس رقوا كيف كونوا بحر
us on the Wise Women Media, the radio show tonight. That was the First Lady of Arab Hip Hop. Her name is Shadia Mansour, and the guest vocalist was M1 from the Dead Prez, singing about the keffiyeh, which is the checkered scarf that's worn in Palestine. Great song, great singer. And I wanted to just make a few announcements before we get underway. You can find us online at wisewomenmedia.blogspot.com. All of our shows are archived there. We have complete show descriptions, links to our social networks, and all kinds of information how to get in touch with us. You can provide us feedback for future guests, ideas. And also, we are independent media and funded by the listeners. So if you feel so inclined, hit us up at the GoFundMe link. No amount is too small, and every little bit helps us stay on the air every week, giving you groundbreaking shows. So we'll get underway with the women from Block the Boat Tampa. Oh, I wanted to also put in a few plugs for our network, the Common Project Network. That's what we are under Here Be Monsters on Blog Talk Radio. We have a whole stable of different shows, Spirit Therapy Radio, The Sunday Show with Gwendolyn Holden-Berry, The Consciousness Shift, The Ceremony, and also check out The Progressive News Network under newmercurymedia.com with Rick Spizak. So lots of shows to keep you busy. Turn off the TV and feed your brain. So we'll get underway. This was pre-recorded on Wednesday night, and we had quite a conversation, and they're going to talk about an event that's upcoming on October 11th. More information through the interview, and I will also be linking I believe it's already linked to our tonight's show description, the direct link to the Facebook event page for October 11th. So listen in and be sure to pass around this archived show to your friends when it's done. And why it's become so important to you and why you think these protests and this type of direct action is effective. So let's start with Betty Jo.
Hi, my name is Betty Jo, and I'm sorry, Anita. Could you start with somebody else? Or
I can start.
Okay.
Recently, I would say in the middle of July. I recall seeing a friend post something. They were pretty much attacking Gaza in the middle of the night, and I think that's when I personally quit. I happen to be a Palestinian-American, and I just remember, I think that kind of was life-changing. That's how I got involved. It definitely clicked. There's something about that specific moment that I can play back in my head. That I recall that's how I really got involved and that's how it all started for me. And that's how I think I got involved with Block the Boat, because I felt so helpless. And somehow I found Block the Boat, and it was my very, very first protest in my life. And it was very, it was definitely intense. You know, being my first protest, right away the police right away kind of targeted me, and they came up to me, and we were all peacefully protesting, and right away they came with their cones and such, and I, you know, they were very kind of just being really pushy, and I'll never stop trying to voice my opinion and stand up for what I believe in, ever, just because I know what's going on there, and it's very sad what's going on there, and I just wish that more people knew the truth.
Have you already been reading about Block the Boat and some of their successful direct actions, like in other locations, like Oakland?
I did read about that, and it is so inspiring, and it's so, it's just amazing what they're doing there, and it is inspiring, and I really hope that our next Block the Boat will be successful, because I think that it's making a huge difference, and I'm so happy to be a part of it.
And, you know, I have so many questions about what Block the Boat does. But I think our viewers are probably not understanding the most basic premise of Block the Boat. And I want to mention the BDS movement. And anybody that's listening can go and check out that website, which is BDS stands for Boycotts, Divestments, and Sanctions, which is similar to what was done in South Africa and why their apartheid ended. The next thing we need to do in regards to the Palestinian-Israeli issue is to do a BDS movement against them, against Israel, and Block the Boat simply stops the freight from entering our country and for consumers to actually buy these particular products. So this is the premise of Block the Boat, and Block the Boat is also in other locations. And I know about Oakland, and I think there were several other locations. Do any of you know where those are?
Yeah, Anita, this is Desiree. I just want to thank you for having us on, first of all. And, yeah, there are Block the Boat campaigns going on actively right now in Tacoma, in L.A., in Oakland. They're organizing in New York for a New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia movement.
Wow, good.
And Vancouver as well. So, and then we here in Tampa, and We are, there are other port cities like New Orleans and Mobile that we're going to be reaching out to, and hopefully, you know, the folks out there can start mobilizations out there as well. But you mentioned that the listeners might not know all the tenets of the Block the Boat campaign, and I'd be happy to explain that. Block the Boat is a direct action manifestation of the Boycott, Divest, Sanction campaign. And what they're doing is in port cities where Zim Integrated Shipping Services is docking, and this company is Israel's biggest international cargo shipping company. It's the 10th largest in the world. And it brings cargo from companies all over the world to our ports. So what we're doing is in conjunction with labor, because the longshoremen and the dock workers are the ones that are unloading the cargo from the ships, we're having picket lines at all the ports when these ships come in. And we're asking, in the spirit of the labor movement, for these workers not to cross our picket line and to either engage in work stoppages, slowdowns, or completely refuse to offload the ships. So that's been happening successfully in Oakland, and we're trying to produce those results here. So, we've had two pickets so far at the Port of Tampa, where the Zim Alabama has been coming in, and there was an unspecified delay at the last picket, but when the Zim Alabama, which is the ship from Zim that comes into the Port of Tampa, comes again on the 11th, we're going to be having another picket there. And we have about 16 endorsing organizations, people from all over Florida coming in to support the action and hoping that, these ships, every hour they're delayed, is thousands of dollars in fuel costs, and they run on tight schedules, so it's incredibly effective in manifesting the Boycott, Divest, Sanction campaign and causing economic damage to Israel and isolating them further from the rest of the world, which is what should happen. The free unabated transfer of goods and commerce should not happen with a country that's highly suspected or a state that's highly suspected of committing war crimes. So.
When you're out there, are you all afraid of arrest?
I can't speak for everyone that's out there, but I am not even thinking about it or concerned about it.
Okay, because, I know that has probably kept some people from going, but I want to make sure that our listeners know that the more people there, more hands make less work. And there should be a lot of people there. If you're concerned about this issue, you should be there. You should make every attempt to be there. If you need to find out more information about the specific event, you can go to, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's blocktheboattampa.org. Am I right?
Yes.
And the Facebook event is Block the Boat Tampa, and look for the one that's got October 11th on it.
That's
correct.
And you're
also... tweeting, and what is that hashtag for your Twitter account?
At Block the Boat TPA.
Block the Boat TPA. So anybody that wants to follow that Twitter, the most recent updates, especially before direct action, go out through the Twitter feed. So you want to definitely follow Block the Boat TPA. What are ways that you think it's best that we can increase awareness of the BDS movement? Because when you mention this to people on the street, they're not too sure what you're talking about until you really go into, a description of it. What can we do?
Recently, I actually I canceled my Victoria's Secret card. I stopped going to Starbucks. I stopped going to McDonald's. I actually stopped going to McDonald's years ago before this happened, but that was another reason for me to not go to McDonald's. Nestle is a huge company to boycott. Coca-Cola company is huge. If you go to the BDS website, there's just a long list of companies to start with. I don't want to overwhelm people, but there is always a place to start, and I think that this is making a huge difference, and it's the least thing that we can do to make, to help these people that are being massacred, pretty much.
Yeah, The months of June, July, and August were very tough for me because what I was doing was I was working as an observer on some of the live feeds, and it was just, it was traumatic. And it was like I was living and breathing, and it was just extremely emotionally horrible for me. And I would try to explain it to people during the day, and they would just, you know, I in particular worked with a born-again Christian who was, you know, in every way just as close to Christ-like as I could ever imagine. And I made the comment about what I was doing and why, and she said, well, don't you know? They're going to kill all the Christians, and then Israel will cease to exist. And
sure.
I went, oh my God. And it became a taboo subject. It was something that she and I both knew we could not discuss. So why? My question is, and I find it hard to even fathom, why are, you know, the fundamentalist Christians so completely down with the Israeli, you know, genocide agenda for Palestine? Can anybody speak to that?
Anita, this is Betty Jo. And I think, you know, that's a very interesting question. But none of us are practicing fundamentalist Christians. And we don't want to speak for a group that we don't have intimate knowledge with or can't speak for, being not a part of it.
Right.
But I think that just suffice to say misinformation, which is Israel, you know, lives off of misinformation, literally. And the notion that fundamentalist Christians are, you know, support Israel or whatever, it would be come down to some vast miscommunication and lack of awareness of the subject.
Yeah, it's really been, it was for a while it was really touch and go with me working with this person, and finally I said we cannot talk about this subject. Neither of us will ever agree, and so we don't discuss it, and it works better that way. Now, I'm sure that all of you have probably posted things on your social networks, Facebook, Twitter, and have you been attacked by Israeli supporters? And if that's the case, how did you handle that kind of verbal attack?
I would say, like, I wouldn't view it as an attack. I would view it as the Hasbro tactic of trying to spread pro-Israeli propaganda. It's more been trolling, and it hasn't really even been any kind of an issue whatsoever. There'll be random comments, but they're not really informed. It's more just a lashing out, and I don't respond to it because it's been nothing serious. And moreover, the more that we see things like that, the more effective I think we are, because I think that they wouldn't even, you know, pick it up or even spend the time on trolling the sites if they weren't seeing these huge results coming out and these huge hits that Zim is taking and that Israel is taking in effect. I don't think they would bother with it if it wasn't anything else. But no, it hasn't been anything serious or anything that I've had to spend any kind of time. Not to speak for the other organizers, but I don't think it's been anything that we've even had to discuss or address in any kind of a serious kind of way.
Yeah, I had some issues on Twitter that were long-term issues with specific, other Twitter accounts. And, basically I ended up having to block some of them. So, they were trolling me and really verbally attacking me on Twitter. And
was it threatening or violent, or
it was violent speech and hate speech and I, you know, at that point I just blocked and reported. But it was unsettling, very unsettling and very bizarre, some of the comments made. So One of the things that I've definitely heard, before we get back to Block the Boat, this was one question that I had that so many people have, and they don't seem to understand why Hamas seems to get blamed for everything when they don't even though they're the democratically elected body for the Palestinians, they don't seem to be the ruling body for them. So that's kind of confusion. And then, of course, we hear that Hamas has violated the ceasefire and Hamas is shooting rockets and, you know, Israel has a right to defend itself and the same old blah, 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 you know, rhetoric. So who is Hamas and why are they getting blamed for everything?
Well, Hamas is, and like you said, a democratically elected political group who are in Gaza and the West Bank. They are more radicalized than the Palestinian Authority. And I don't want to get into the politics of the situation, and it's not for me to speak, you know, on behalf of the, you know, Hamas, why they do what they do. I will say that the reason we hear so much about Hamas is that's what the media wants us to hear. They want us to hear that Hamas uses children to as human shields, and they want us to hear that Hamas is a terrorist organization. These are the things that simply the media chooses to say and may or may not have some basis in reality.
Okay.
But it's, you know, the media loves a good bloody story, and they'll tell it whether it's true or not.
If I can speak to that also, Anita, is that it's far lesser known that once one of the ceasefire agreements had been established, afterwards Israel had been shooting at Palestinian fishermen that were in the agreed-upon extension of fishable land. I believe it was 6 nautical miles that they were given. They also annexed a huge portion of land. I think it was 1,000 acres. And they were raiding refugee camps and injuring and arresting Palestinians. That's far lesser known than what they like to push in the media about Hamas firing rockets or supposedly breaking the ceasefire agreement. So there's definitely a media bias, at least a mainstream media bias, on what's being reported and what's happening post the ceasefire agreement that were established. So you can see the slant right there, I hope.
What are some of the sites that people should be looking at to be getting real information about what's happening with the Palestinian Israeli situation? I mean, I personally look at the Electronic Intifada. I think that's one of the best with some of the best information, stories, and videos. What are some of the websites that you all take a look at?
Okay, I agree about the Electronic Intifada. I also follow the Al Jazeera site and International Solidarity Movement.
I've been following the Twitter feed for ISM, which I think is especially good. And,
right.
The relief agencies, the one I follow is the PCRF. That seems to be consisted of mostly medical people, and they work to try to get medical help to the children. So I follow that and what they're doing, and they try to get some of them, you know, the children that have really, really been seriously injured out of the country for surgeries, for especially delicate surgeries. So the Electronic Intifada, Al Jazeera, and what was the other? ISM, right?
Right. I thought a lot of what ISM was called.
Mm-hmm. And what
International Emergency Service.
Oh, yes. Betty Jo, I was going to ask you to elaborate on that organization. Tell us a little bit about it, because you have traveled to Palestine with that organization. Am I correct? Can you tell us a little bit about that group?
We are a small group of women from around the world who volunteer in the West Bank, doing much the same work as International Solidarity Movement. And so we are witnesses to the atrocities committed against the Palestinians by the Israeli occupation forces. We intervene where we can. We hope that our presence as internationals deflects some of the violence away from the Palestinians. We do human rights monitoring and record it.
Okay. And the other question that I thought was really important, what is the long-term strategy for the Block the Boat effort?
Well, I think just bringing awareness to the general public in the various ways that Israel is literally in every American bed, and I mean, you wouldn't think that a ship, you know, coming into the port of Tampa would have anything to do with the occupation of Palestine, but actually it's companies like Zim whose financial support of Israel, them being owned in part by Israel, that their financial gain is furthering the occupation. So we want people to think on that how the occupation is part of the United States' overall support for Israel and being on a trading relationship with such a rogue state is incomprehensible to me.
We're going to stop it right there, and I just wanted to remind you all that you're listening to Wise Women Media, the radio show. We broadcast every Friday night at 10 o'clock. That's Eastern Standard Time or Daylight Savings Time. And you can find us online at wisewomenmedia.blogspot.com. We're on Tumblr. We also have a Twitter feed at Wise Women Media. If you feel so inclined, head to wisewomenmedia.blogspot.com and hit us up at the GoFundMe link. We are independent media. We have no corporate sponsorship. And we're going to just listen to just a little bit of music. This is Ragtop and the Philistines, Free the Pea.
I place my palm to the east where my people seek peace and freedom from police controls, checkpoints and patrols, domination from another nation. We used to be brothers like Cain, now they got us living under occupation. The pain is just a feeling I can't possibly explain, but the population of Palestine will probably paint a proper picture of their predicament to publish and frame. Put it down for posterity's sake, free the beat, which stands for free the public from the prejudice. The pop culture places in your psyche permanently. Propaganda from the president, the media pundits, the preachers preaching on the TV about the people who've done it. Politicians getting paid to put people in prison for puffing pot and just building something different from what they did. And the vision is not to give them, but to just give them hell. And impel proactive change with this rapper propel. Free the beat, that's for everybody trapped in a jail. That should be free instead of breathing still air in the cell. For every parent that's to protect their child with smart heat. Free the beat is for the women living in this patriarchy. And for all the artists that do this shit from the heart. From the West Bank to the West Coast, we start to connect and get close. Profess our best hopes, despite the stress, blessed, cause there's something in our chest that love.
It's just that feeling that you can't hold.
So powerful, no doubt enough to change your heart. outlook. Free to be and get your whole house shut. Now dig it, now dig it. Of Algiers, big on my tree in the Brunetti from past Smith. Perverted politicians speculating, perhaps we're the reason why rats fear, because we can attack this. Patriot acts with patriotic dispatches of active examples of tactical combatants of cultivated till a cult followed our actions. Stirring up a current, a dialogue that is a nutshell. Really, what mean these fillers claim he's compelled to do do retaliate, to do do rum spell. Control of the news now, blunt roll in a few clouds, bunched over a suit now. Like life in the Boondocks, illustrations of willing patience. But it ain't no comic strip when they strip us of immigration. Officers where the officers often irritated, forcing these intonations of heartfelt indignation out of our throats.
It's just that feeling that you can't hold on.
Can't hold it in anymore, just set it free. Let it be therapy for the Arab, the eternally homesick. Roaming the Roman Empire's own kid sister, America. Her predecessor from the dresser, wearing a hand-me-down oppressor. Cousins in the blood, knows it, so she in the rut. A big sick diplomacy when she knows she in the rut. Purse needing some feed and gold digging in every gut. But he's still sick of seeing a cellar bush from a Texan pit. And next to Ken Canada.
And that was Ragtop and the Philistines, Free the Pea. And we'll go ahead and go to the second half of our interview. These are the ladies from Flop the Boat Tampa. One moment, we're having a few technical difficulties here. Here we go.
Are they union here in Florida, the ship workers, the dock workers?
They are. The union we're working with is the ILA, particularly the Local 1402, the longshoremen. We're actually working, closely with one of the union members there, and we've visited the union hall several times and talked with many of the members there, and quite a few of them are you know, there's not really a way to be a longshoreman, I feel, and avoid knowing that the rich, radical history of the longshoreman. Nelson Mandela in 90 at the Oakland Coliseum came out and thanked the longshoremen of Local 10, the ILWU, for what they'd done, for refusing to unload a ship during the apartheid in South Africa. Commented that they were on the front lines of the movement to end apartheid. So they were extremely effective in that campaign, and they're being extremely effective in this campaign. The people from the union, it's a much smaller union. Support is a lot less busy than it is in Oakland. I heard in Oakland, I'm not sure if it's exactly accurate, but that they're one of, if not the busiest port in the country. So in Tampa, it's a unique situation because it's a lot less busy. The Zim Alabama ship is actually their bread and butter. It's a 20-hour job for them. So, you know, we realize the huge sacrifice we're asking them to make for us, but knowing that, knowing the sacrifice that they're being asked to make, they've still been extremely human and extremely receptive, and many of them have very personal, very strong feelings about the occupation of Palestine and the incremental genocide that Israel's committing against them. So, the ILA Local 1402 is who we're building relations with, and working with, and trying to come to some kind of mutual understanding. I mean, none of us wants to see 500-plus children massacred in Gaza in a besieged area as it is over a span of 51 days. So we all can come to an understanding that is awful, and now it's just what to do with it. So, so we're just continuing to build relationships with them and work from there.
What would you say to the workers when they say, hey, I need this job, I've got to feed my kids? I mean, that, you know, if you can appeal to them on an emotional level, fine, but it still boils down to, for so many, this is a job, I need my paycheck. How does that become a challenge, and how do you get beyond that?
No, I understand what you're saying, and that's something that we've had to deal with. And in every social justice struggle, there are people that are sacrificing. The struggle is intersectional. We've fought for labor. Labor's fought for, I mean, we're all fighting for human rights. So
right.
It's something that, you know, it's something that, you know, to achieve our ends in a world that's ugly and unfair, where bad things can happen, it's going to involve a sacrifice. So, I mean, that's why we're continuing to talk to the union and try to build relationships with them. But the main thing, the main tenet of this whole thing is that the struggle is intersectional. We have environmentalists, we have animal rights activists, we have human rights, social justice, labor rights people. Everybody's working together for this campaign because it touches every one of us. So it's something that, you know, if we all don't stand together and fight when these things happen, then it's only going to get worse. And, you know, I don't know if either Mona or Betty Jo want to speak to it, but that's where I come from the issue.
I think you're covering that very well.
Yeah, I think so, too. What other types of actions have you considered doing besides block the boat to increase awareness about what's going on in Palestine, Israel?
I can say one thing to that. I'm sorry. We're working on a video project. The Russell Tribunal on Palestine just happened in Brussels a few days ago, and there was horrific and highly disturbing testimonies that were given from eyewitnesses to some of the many atrocities that were committed by Israeli forces during Operation Protective Edge. And so what we've done to increase, as a vehicle for awareness, is we're working on a video project. We already have people engaged that are on the ground in Palestine, people from all over the country, artists, activists, writers, authors, people that are going to be filming themselves reading portions of the testimony. And we're going to be editing the footage together with like a text narrative, letting people know what's going on, because I think largely the world doesn't know the extent of the horrors that were committed there, and it's the fault of the mainstream media because they're not reporting on it. But yeah, we're working on this video project. We hope to get it up really, really soon, like if directly before or directly after October 11th, and it's gonna be increasing awareness of what was done there, and I think that's the very first step of anything we do from there.
What do you think was, I mean, I watched some portions of the Russell Tribunal. I watched some of the testimony, which, like you said, was some of it was just pretty horrifying and deeply disturbing and very emotional. What do you think was the result of the Russell Tribunal? What will happen now that all this evidence has been presented?
Well, it's just another means of raising awareness. The Russell Tribunal, as you know, I mean, internationally, people have watched and participated from all over the globe to come together and call out Israel for the war crimes they have committed against Palestinian people. And so this is another avenue of raising awareness.
And even though they had the Russell Tribunal and definitely documented through testimonies what happened, the Russell Tribunal it's not like an international criminal court where people and organizations will actually be held accountable. Am I correct in saying that?
That is correct. We're hoping it creates leverage with the international criminal court. At least that's my don't feel that knowing this information from eyewitnesses I feel like that is the main vehicle for getting justice and having Israel be accountable for what they have committed in Gaza, not only in Operation Protective Edge, but all the other genocides that they've committed there. So I feel like it hopefully will create leverage with the International Criminal Court if and hopefully when Israel is brought to answer
So the International Criminal Court is what's next, and what is? Does anybody know what the procedure is? What happens to actually bring Israel to the International Criminal Court? What has to be done, or what hoops have to be gone through?
I don't know the process. I actually wish there was more information available on it. I know that Israel has been spreading information already, trying to point fingers at the people who've just sustained 2,100-plus human losses. So
right.
I do wish there was more readily available information on what the exact process is with the ICC, but I know that complaints have been lodged, and I also know, conversely, that Israel's been putting out propaganda, pointing fingers at the Palestinian people in Gaza, because they've just gone in and massacred. So, if there's some kind of information available on if and when this could happen and what the process is, I don't know it.
The first thing that has to happen is that Palestine requests the International Criminal Court take up their case. And it's my understanding that they have now, they have brought it to the court. And, you know, that's been actually one of the so-called negotiations between during the peace talks, was Israel does not want the Palestinians to go to the international court that they have now. And so that's a phenomenal step that now we can hope will bear fruit.
I want to come out on October 11th. So if I come out, me and a few of my friends, what do I expect to see and what will I be doing at that particular direct action?
Well, you're going to see a lot of pro-Palestine activists, such as myself. And, you know, we just kind of chant along and just hope for people to join us. You know, the main goal is for people, for them not to unload. And it was a success before, so we're hoping for that again. And, you know, you just kind of, you know, if you want to bring a poster or something, a sign, you don't have to, but, you know, you're going to meet a lot of new friends there, like I did, you know, and it kind of really stuck with me, and it's like I'm not ever going to stop now, and it definitely is life-changing, just because, you know, it's kind of like the only thing that, you know, we can do is just do things like this, protest and boycott and stuff like that, and, you know, it's just we're protesting.
Also, it was an extremely powerful environment the last time that we were out there on the 20th. We had a moving, singing, drumming, chanting picket line going through with dozens and dozens of people going through every intersection, and then we united for a march inside of the entranceway to the port. It was really powerful. It was really beautiful. It was emotional, and we got to stand there and witness, you know, workers coming in, reading our information, looking at our signs and banners. People were beeping. There were a lot of truckers coming by and beeping and waving. It was a really, really beautiful environment. And I'm really happy to hear that you'll be coming out and joining us. I'm looking very much forward to exactly the same environment that I found myself in on the 20th. It was really powerful for me.
There's actually quite a few Green Party people that will probably be in town for a special birthday, and I'm hoping to drag some people with me, so I'm kind of looking forward to that. Let me ask you all just very, I don't know who can answer this, but just to briefly touch on some of the history of how we got from, you know, from Israel-Palestine, from Palestine, that part of the world actually belonging to Palestine, and here we are all this time later, many years later. How did we get to this point in this part of the world?
I'm sorry, you were a little, you kind of cut off. Is there any way that you could please repeat the question?
Yeah, I wanted to just find out, and I'm sure the listeners want to know, that this land and this part of the world was Palestinian. And through the Balfour Agreement and other agreements and basically land grabs and theft, Israel and Jewish people in Israel basically came in and land grabbed the land. And there was a huge diaspora, of course, of Palestinian people back, I believe it was in 1948. But if you could briefly touch on the history on how we got from there to here, where basically the Palestinians are living in an open-air prison, even though it's their land.
Well, actually, the Jewish people started migrating to Palestine, and they lived there alongside the Palestinians with little or no problem for years before 1948. It was in 1948 when Israel proclaimed itself a state and began pushing the Palestinian people off their land. So entire villages were obliterated. There is 4.7 million refugees across the world who either were forced off their land in 48 or the years immediately after that, and their descendants. So I just want to say that it wasn't so much, a problem that the Jewish people migrated back to Palestine or that, they came to Palestine as people seeking to live there. They purchased property from Palestinians. They got along well. It was the political construction of Zionism that caused the problem.
So even though Zionism is a political entity, why are we not hearing about, we're hearing about it, but it's not like it's Hamas, or it's not like it's the Democrats or the Republicans. Why are we not hearing about Zionism? Does it again go to back to disinformation and what the media will report on and what they won't?
Disinformation, as Betty Jo put it really well one time, that Israel is in every American bed. It's so pervasive. We have Israeli military training police sergeants here in the United States. We're funding Israel. We're giving them $3 billion, I believe, a year.
Yeah.
Three days after bombing a UN-designated sanctuary or refugee camp, the U.S. gifted Israel with, I think it was $200-plus million for military
right.
aid, as they were actively and disproportionately massacring Palestinians in Gaza. The next day, after receiving that money, they went and bombed another UN shelter. Nothing happens, and it's not widely known about. It's not widely reported on. It's not widely circulated. They're in such complicity with one another that the media reporting, at least mainstream, is completely slanted. And we have funded, as Americans, we have funded the massacres that have occurred in Israel.
And,
so,
the three, I believe it's $3 billion a year, but that doesn't even include the military hardware. So the military hardware is a completely separate thing. So we're talking about billions and billions of U.S. tax dollars. And this is the fact that I actually use when I'm talking to other people about what's really going on. I'm mentioning your tax dollars are, paying for this genocide.
I think
billions
that
when we didn't have an infrastructure here anymore. And that
exactly.
kind of makes people sit up and take notice, I think, more than anything else.
And that's the thing, is it's really absurd that, as an American citizen,
that we're sending Israel $8.5 million a day when we have people here, American citizens, that are suffering, that are broke. And it makes no sense. And that's where the whole BDS thing comes in. And although we can't control where our tax money goes, we can control what purchases we make indefinitely. So it's a huge, huge thing that is making a big impact that, you know, that's the least thing that we could do is at least control where our money is being spent.
Right, right. We're getting close to the end of the show, and I just wanted to have you all make any closing comments. And tell a little bit about what's going to happen on October 11th. And, again, if somebody could repeat where they can find you online. I think I've said it once, but it begs a repeat, I'm sure. So who wants to start? Betty Jo, would you like to start?
Sure. You can find out more about us on our website, blocktheboattampa.org. And we have an event page on Facebook as well as a community page. I would just really encourage people to come out. And if you've never attended a demonstration before, Mona here with us was her first demonstration a couple weeks ago. And I just felt that she was the most powerful woman there. It really is so important to get involved on all levels. You know, talking to your family and friends, posting on social media about the boycott, divest, sanctions movement. Learn more yourself, and again, come out and join us because. There's nothing more powerful than to put your body out there along with your sentiments and your beliefs for what is right and wrong. You know, don't just use your mouth, use your body too. And I hope that a lot of your listeners will be joining us on the 11th.
Did anybody else have a closing comment?
I just want to kind of just thank the supporters that have reached out to me. That means a lot, and it goes a long way. And, you know, their good deeds won't be forgotten. And I appreciate, you know, everyone that is taking a stand for Palestine, for sure.
And I would just like to say that if people want to find more information, it's blocktheboattampa.org. They can visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/blocktheboattampa. The Twitter feed is blocktheboattpa. And, I mean, we're not operating from the ground. We're standing on the shoulders of everybody that's fought a social struggle in human history. We got here because of people that fought before us I'm proud of everybody that we're organizing with. We have 100% Israeli organizers. We have people who are Jewish organizing with us. People who are Christian. People who are atheists. We're all standing together because genocide is wrong. Institutionalized racism is wrong. Occupation and murder is wrong. I think before anything else happens, all of us and our humanity, we can all link a thread between us that says that is wrong. A 500 children massacred is wrong, and that's why we're out there. And if people want to join us, it's at the corner of Maritime Boulevard and the 22nd Street Causeway. It's at the opening entranceway to the Port of Tampa. And, you know, we welcome everyone who wants to stand in solidarity with the people of Palestine.
Well, I want to thank you all for being on the show tonight, and I will definitely make every effort to join you all on October 11th, and amazing work that you're doing, and you're taking great risk by doing this, but yet this message is so important to get out, and I think it has everything to do with human rights, social justice, and stopping genocide and ecocide and everything else that's happening in Palestine right now. And again, thank you. I'm going to put this on. So that was our interview with the ladies from Block the Boat Tampa. And definitely check us out at Wise Women Media, the complete wisewomenmedia.blogspot.com, the complete show description, links the event page on Facebook for October 11th, and check out the website at blocktheboattampa.org. Check us out next week. We'll be we'll have another show for you, 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, on Friday. That would be October 10th. And thank you for joining us tonight. I'm going to close with a great song. I actually heard it for the first time tonight and fell in love with it. It's called Sunu by Rising Appalachia. Have a great weekend, folks, and we'll see you next week.